San Diego County Credit Union is honoring local teachers in San Diego County through SDCCU Classroom Heroes. Nominate an outstanding teacher that has positively impacted students' lives, and they could win a $500 Visa gift card and be featured on CBS 8. One lucky winner will receive a five-day staycation at Kona Kai Resort. SDCCU. It's not big bank banking. It's better. Federally insured by NCUA. Nominate online at sdccu.com/classroomheroes.
Swenson Children's Foundation started to encourage hope and support so that children can have faith in their futures. As it says in Psalms 127:3, children are a blessing and a gift from our Lord. We see God's hand in every outreach opportunity we have had over these last 10 years to provide a blessing to children and their families in need, and will continue to serve our communities from coast to coast. If you would like to learn more about our foundation, please visit our website, Swenson Children's Foundation.
Are you looking for a local top-tier accounting and consulting firm? Look no further than Swenson Advisors. Since 1998, Swenson Advisors has been delivering personalized, customer-focused services with the expertise of a national firm. Our clients, from middle-market public and private companies to high-net-worth individuals, trust us for our responsive, ethical, and innovative approach. Whether you're in technology, real estate, manufacturing, or the nonprofit sector, Swenson Advisors has you covered. Specializing in lease accounting, audit and assurance, tax services, and consulting, Swenson Advisors delivers tailored solutions for your financial success. We're not just another accounting firm. We're your strategic ally, dedicated to innovative solutions and impeccable service. Ranked among the top 25 accounting firms by the San Diego Business Journal and recognized for our integrity and responsiveness. Join the countless clients who trust Swenson Advisors for their accounting needs. Visit us at swensonadvisors.com today or call us at 619-237-3400. Swenson Advisors, expertise you can trust, solutions you can count on.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the airwaves the CEO of Save America Now PAC and your host for Turning California Red, Steve Austin. Join Steve along with his co-host Kelly Hansen Monday through Wednesday at 2 p.m. for a powerful conservative talk show. They'll tackle today's hot topics, current events, and feature special guests dedicated to restoring America's values. In a time when freedom, personal responsibility, and the Constitution are under attack, Steve and Kelly are here to fight back. Together, we can help turn California red again. Tune in and be part of the movement.
Good afternoon, everybody. And Kelly, we're in for another riveting, exciting show today with a special guest that actually has been getting a lot of national attention lately, and we'll be getting him introduced here shortly. But, you know, we've had, when we started this journey in July of last year, we spent a lot of time talking about insanity, meaning that there were so many insane things going on, whether it was at the border or schools or whatever. So, you know, it's been a nice little break since basically late November that we haven't had to use the word insanity much at all, because a lot of the Democrats and the other folks have realized that they don't have a winning platform at all in their insanity. However, this past week we've had another example kind of pop up, and people are going, what's going on here? So, as you know, the press has been filled with a story about a gentleman by the name of Garcia, who was supposedly inadvertently sent to El Salvador to, along with the M13 gang folks that he's been identified with, and now the we have a judge or one or more judges that said, you know, he really wasn't processed properly. He didn't get the due diligence that he should have, and even though, you know, he beat up his wife and all the other things that have been going on, threatening people in Maryland. We really ought to bring him back, because how could this country survive without somebody like that? And so, you know, for a while it was like, okay, well, that's not going to happen. And Paul Pam Bondi and the Supreme Court all chimed in on this stuff. And they basically said, not going to happen. Well, now we have, you know, Maryland is turning out to be, you know, Maryland, Illinois, Massachusetts, California are really the hotbeds of crazy liberalism. So we have a senator from Maryland who on taxpayer dollars, Kelly, flew to El Salvador to sit down with this guy and have a Coke with him or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, his mission, I think, was to try and bring him back. Well, that didn't happen. In fact, the president of El Salvador said, you know, I'm not going to export somebody back to the United States. And now we've had four other congressmen, I think on their own dime, because the Congressional Oversight Committee that runs, you know, their plane expenses and whatnot, approves them, said, no, we're not going to pay for that. But they went down. They didn't get to meet with him, though. They don't know where he ended up. But here, so here we have a, you know, we have all these gangs that have killed people, have caused all kinds of havoc, largely because they waltzed right in the door under Joe Biden and Kamala's purview and set up shop here in the United States. And so, you know, one of the first things that Trump talked about was let's get these people out of here. And he's been able to, you know, deport hundreds of these folks, but I'm sure there's a lot more to go. And so the question I have for you, Kelly, is when is the insanity going to stop?
Yeah. It's not. That's the answer, because there's always going to be insane people. But I do think that we're heading in the right direction, at least for the next few years. That's why I think we got to keep on speaking common sense and logic and never being afraid to say what's right and true, because what does Bill always say? You know, these are debased minds.
Yes, yeah.
And we gotta give them a base. We gotta give them a platform. So we need to teach people about Christ. And but yeah, this story is pretty crazy, especially when you see what's actually happening in Maryland. You know, you've had I think two illegal immigrants who have killed their girlfriend and raped and killed another mom of five. And he chose to make this his stand right in the middle of all of this. So that's, you know, you could see the corruption in it. And yeah, do I think that anybody should just be deported? No. I mean, we're going to go through some due process and make sure that these are the correct people. But let's take a look at Garcia, his character and everything. And he is an El Salvadorian. So I don't know what we're yelling about here. And like you said, we found out he beats his wife and he is, you know, he's got tattoos all over him with the M13. What are we talking about here? You know, and to use taxpayers' dollars, especially during the time when, you know, Rachel Morin had just been raped and murdered by an illegal immigrant. It shows you where he stands, that it's more important to him that we really protect illegal immigrants than we do our own people here in the United States.
Yeah,
and so
you just have to ask, the Democratic Party is really grasping at straws. I saw a poll the other day that there's a fair chance that AOC may become the nominee in 2028. So can you imagine her ranting and raving at the Democratic National Convention?
I don't get it. I don't get that. And I don't think that she's even that popular with a lot of Democrats. So good luck, sweetie. But that is a scary prospect.
You know, it's kind of interesting because if you go to, I think, Rachel Campos Duffy, who's going to be a guest of ours at the PAC Luncheon on June 20th, along with a world-famous drummer by the name of Zorro. By the way, Kelly, you've did a great job of getting him introduced. He's being part of the music show on the 20th of June.
He's just the best. He's got to be there. So and you know what's funny? We were just talking on our other show about Franklin. He's moving out to Nashville. We just lost another great here in California. That's Zorro. Anyways, go on.
So I'm at lunch yesterday with a couple of business people, and I gave him the invitation to come to the June 20th event. And I mentioned that Rachel Campos Duffy will be our key speaker, but we're also going to have a candidate forum that, Kelly, you're going to somehow supervise these half dozen people in the 20 minutes you're going to get. You get to let them talk. but I mentioned that we have a drummer that's going to be part of the music group called Zorro. And the young lady that was sitting next to me, she's, I've heard him at our church in Northern California. He is phenomenal. And so nice. I'm starting to realize, you know, Jimmy Fallon had him on The Tonight Show and whatnot, that
he's saying just him happy birthday.
He's just the nicest guy and talented. So we're going to
so talented. Yeah.
We're going to have a really star-studded program on June 20th at the Westin in Carlsbad. And you can look at you can email us on our Save America Now website to get more information about that. Mm-hmm. So, I'm hoping that the insanity doesn't, really flare up too much anymore. It's just kind of nice getting to feel like, even though there's states like Illinois and Massachusetts and Maine in Maryland, and California, that are, a lot of them are going to, I think, realize that the truth is not on their side. And people finally get rid of, get tired of all this. And they just either go away or get quiet. And
and the polls are proving to them, we're not winning with this strategy. It's not a winning strategy. People are coming on and they're seeing what we're doing. We're distracting, we're diverting. But let me say this about the insanity. You know, all those places that you just mentioned, especially California, we know this. Where there is more insanity, there is more people like us, like-minded, who are super strong and rooted in their faith and in their beliefs. And I find that encouraging. And, you know, this event that you have on June 20th, I would just encourage anybody who's listening, if you want to be surrounded by like-minded people and you don't want to feel like you're just in a pool of insanity anymore because you live in San Diego or California, man, you will be so encouraged if you come to this event, but also just to meet these like-minded people and realize they all have different organizations that they're working with or churches, and you'll be blown away. Like, the polls are not showing the dignity of the people here in San Diego, because we really are a very, very strong group of people who are like-minded, who love Jesus, and who really want to save this state. So I just wanted to give that little plug, you know, do email, do find out more about June 20th, because it won't just be really entertaining. You're going to find a lot of incredible people who are very like-minded, and you'll love it.
Yeah, we've got some really good leaders coming up and insight. And I think you're right, Kelly, that we're going to show encouragement, that you're going to be in a room with a couple hundred folks that are like-minded and working towards. And, you know, I've been encouraged since last year's meeting with Trey Gowdy that there are a number of organizations in the state that represent hundreds of thousands of people. What they are missing, in my opinion, is coordination. And and really focused on how do I educate and evangelize the non-thinking world, or some of the Democrats who are maybe starting to wake up and realize that it's really time to make a change. I'd love to see California turn red. The 52 electoral votes would be powerful and would probably ensure having conservative leadership in Washington for quite a while. So flipping
California. You know, Steve, I have a question on that. I don't know if you know this, but I haven't done the study. So this is either a homework for one of us, if you know. But, you know, we look at that map of California and we see how red it actually is. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea what the actual vote differential is in California with blue and red?
2 million.
There is a 2 million differential.
Right.
Positive blue.
Yeah. So, you know,
thought we were a little closer than that.
You know, last time they flipped about 400,000 votes. But to win, we've got to flip 2 million. Now, what does that mean? That means that you basically are going to have to convince, you know, if you get the 2 million or even if you get 1 million and convince another million to stay home, you can. It's not impossible. Even when Reagan won, which is the last time California was really blue, red, there were still five or six counties that were blue, and the Bay Area being one of them. Orange County, San Diego were very, very conservative red. So we've got a lot of work to do, but the key, Kelly, is going to be getting the pastors to stand up in the pulpit, teach their congregation, and they easily, there's a lot of churches, but they can easily get the 2 million.
Absolutely.
Coupled with Corey Rankin's doing with the Republican Party and whatnot, getting good assembly candidates, state Senate candidates, we can make that happen. So, well, we have a special guest today.
We have amazing candidates, right?
Yeah. Guest today who's going to be coming around that you won't want to miss.
Swenson Children's Foundation started to encourage hope and support so that children can have faith in their futures. As it says in Psalms 127:3, children are a blessing and a gift from our Lord. We see God's hand in every outreach opportunity we have had over these last 10 years to provide a blessing to children and their families in need, and will continue to serve our communities from coast to coast. If you would like to learn more about our foundation, please visit our website, SwensonChildren'sFoundation.com.
Are you looking for a local, top-tier accounting and consulting firm? Look no further than Swenson Advisors. Since 1998, Swenson Advisors has been delivering personalized, customer-focused services with the expertise of a national firm. Our clients, from middle-market public and private companies to high-net-worth individuals, trust us for our responsive, ethical, and innovative approach. Whether you're in technology, real estate, manufacturing, or the nonprofit sector, Swenson Advisors has you covered. Specializing in lease accounting, audit and assurance, tax services, and consulting, Swenson Advisors delivers tailored solutions for your financial success. We're not just another accounting firm. We're your strategic ally, dedicated to innovative solutions and impeccable service. Ranked among the top 25 accounting firms by the San Diego Business Journal and recognized for our integrity and responsiveness. Join the countless clients who trust Swenson Advisors for their accounting needs. Visit us at SwensonAdvisors.com today or call us at 619-237-3400. Swenson Advisors, expertise you can trust, solutions you can count on.
Welcome back, everybody. We have a very special guest on today, Kelly, who is the District 5 County Supervisor, Jim Desmond. Are you with us, Jim?
Yes, I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Well, Jim is, I don't think you and I have met. Kelly Hansen, who's my co-host, has worked with you and her husband up in the Fallbrook area. And
I know Kelly.
There you
Hi,
go.
Kelly.
Yep.
Yeah,
hey,
once you meet Kelly, Jim, you never forget her. So there's a lot of truth in that. So.
Well, I was telling everybody, Jim, how much you have done for our community here in Fallbrook. So we are forever grateful to have you have been a part of our community. And hopefully you'll continue on in this new role as Congress. So
I hope so. Thank you.
Yeah, Jim, I'm good friends with your compadre, Joel Anderson, and he and I have worked on a lot of things together. And we have a PAC called Save America Now PAC that we're actually hosting a big lunch that I think June has you signed up to come. Rachel Campos Duffy is going to be there. And who knows, maybe Sean, her husband, will show up too. But she's our special speaker on June 20th at the Westin in Carlsbad. But I know your time is limited. What I'd like you to do is just do a very short synopsis of your background in education, and then let's jump right into two things. You have been on national TV quite a bit regarding the situation at the border and the Tijuana River. And then secondly, I want you to talk about how you're going to beat Mike Levin next year.
Okay. Well, just, you know, briefly, the United States Navy brought me to San Diego region, so I'm, you know, blessed to be a U.S. Navy veteran. I got a degree from San Diego State in electrical engineering. I actually got my pilot's licenses on my own while I was going to school, and also while I was in the Navy. And then I ended up flying for Delta Airlines for almost 34 years.
Wow.
For Delta Airlines. But in between that, well, while I was still flying, I got involved with the community. I learned that once you start volunteering, the more responsibility people will just give you. And so I was the PTO president of my kid's school, and then I had a business in town as well as the flying job. And then I joined the Chamber of Commerce, and then I ran for city council, and then I ran for mayor. I was mayor of San Marcos for 12 years. And then Bill Horn, he was termed out.
Bill Horn.
And so I took his place, and that was almost 7 years ago.
Okay.
And that I took his spot. And then now I've been a county supervisor, and I'm looking at the Congress. So I moved up from PTO president. It was me and 12 moms. They did everything, and I ran the meetings to running for Congress. So it's been a great journey. And I married my beautiful wife for 41 years now, I think, or 40 years. And we just had our first grandbaby yesterday. So
congratulations.
Happy.
Yeah, that's a great thing. I tell you, grandchildren will keep you fighting the battle. Hey, the county supervisor board, I was there for the swearing-in of Joel Anderson here a couple of months ago after his reelection. You folks run about $8 to $10 billion budget?
$8 billion plus.
Yeah.
It's a little over $1 billion a year in a budget, and it's huge. And we've got about 22,000 employees at the county. We've got about 60 different departments. We take care of, you know, a lot of the social woes of society. We have the jails, the courthouses, the DA's under us, the sheriff is under our budget. We've got child welfare services, juvenile hall, in lack of another term, the library system, the tax collector, the county recorder. We also do all the inspections for the ag and the beaches. It's just and behavioral health and mental health, and we were at the COVID. So it's pretty big, and the learning curve was pretty huge. But luckily right now it's a 2-2 board. One of the three Democrats stepped down in December. And so the good news about being a 2-2 board is the crazy stuff can't get passed. We can at least block it, and we were able to do some of that today.
And I would imagine you're hoping John McCain wins the runoff.
Oh, heck. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Doing everything I can to get him as the next county board of supervisors. We can do some cleanup here at the county and try to get things back under control and back to basics instead of all this virtue signaling and everything else that goes on. And so I'm looking forward to having him as part of the board.
Well, he's not, you know, he got, 43% of the vote, and we've been, maybe you can help me, but I've been trying to get him booked for our program here before the runoff, and haven't had too much luck. You know, June Cutter, she's a great friend, but she said his itinerary is rough, so I may just call him and say that you told told him to be on the show.
I'll do it. I said it'll put him over the top. He'll be a sure winner.
Now,
he's on your show.
Now, you've been down in his district in the last week or so talking about the situation with the Tijuana River and whatnot. First question I have to ask, how in the world has this situation continued for decades?
I put the blame on us. We've allowed it to happen. And unfortunately, we've been focusing on how do we treat their sewage as opposed to how do we stop it from coming over in the first place.
Yeah.
And we've spent $600 million on this treatment plant that can't handle everything Tijuana has to offer, unfortunately. And this has been going on for decades. in the last 4 or 5 years, with all of the people coming across the border, you know, that was the focus, that was the emphasis, to try to stop, you know, the people from coming across illegally and then asking for asylum. And so now that stopped on day one of the Trump administration, and now it's, you know, time to focus back on this sewage. But it's horrific. What the Tijuana River, it's channelized through Tijuana. It's just this huge, big cement canal, and they do not have the infrastructure for their sewer or water treatment. So they end up dumping a lot of this just into the river. And unfortunately, the natural course of the river is to empty out on our side of the border. And so every time it rains or things eventually all end up here. And it's been raw sewage lately, and this has got to stop. And now our Imperial Beach has been closed for over 1,000 days. The beach itself, the town is, you know, it has stores and shops and things like that near the pier, are, you know, not doing great business. And even our U.S. Navy SEALs who train in this water right off between Coronado and Imperial Beach, they've been getting sick, and they've been contemplating changing where they get do their training in the water. So this has been horrific, and we, you know, I guess it was my turn to blow the whistle on this, and we got a lot of national attention. We just had Zeldin, the head of the EPA, Lee Zeldin. He came to San Diego County. He did a tour yesterday. Myself and a lot of other local leaders got to talk and chat with him. I'm glad we're getting the attention it needs. We actually even reached the president. The president was interviewed on Air Force One.
Yes, I heard that.
And then even Lee Zeldin was telling a story I guess he was, Mr. Zeldin was briefing the president on some pipeline in the northeast, some sort of pipeline that they were working on or something to that effect. And the president kept saying, but what about San Diego? What about the sewage that's happening there? And he got interrupted a couple of times. He says he just couldn't keep the president focused on this other line, and he was really focused heavily on the San Diego Tijuana issue. And so that's good news. Hopefully, we'll get some results out of it.
So what are the next steps to actually make something happen? Is it a matter of appropriation of money? Is it a matter of dealing with the leadership in Mexico? I'm a CPA, and I focus on getting things done and deadlines. I just am shocked that this has gone on for decades. I just don't get it.
Yeah, it's all the above as far as any solutions. And we got their attention. Now we have to see whatever their tactical, strategy and tactical measures. They want to get things done as quickly as possible, but it wasn't. It was high on notification and everybody getting to understand this problem, but the solutions, have yet to come. But I think, you know, this is, we built this treatment plant that's already down there. We built it in the 1990s. It has not been maintained properly, and it doesn't always, it can only take about 25 million gallons of sewage a day. And Tijuana sends across more than that. Then there's the Tijuana River that bypasses this treatment plant altogether. So we're getting hit from a couple of fronts. And I'm of the opinion we got to stop it. We absolutely have to stop the flow. And there needs to be consequences, because then there's been no consequences for Mexico. We've just been taking care of it. So they're just going to keep flushing it our way. So we need to have consequences. We need to have stop the flow. We need to put the tourniquet on now. Just like when President Trump came in to office day one, he stopped the flow across our border of illegal immigrants coming over. He stopped that. We got to do the same thing with this sewage. It needs to be stopped. I'm in favor of, going drastic and just damming it up and saying, you keep it on your side. You created this mess. You deal with it. We have to make it Mexico's problem.
Yes.
Right now, it's not
yes.
their problem. It's our problem.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, well, I will say, and I just kind of want to, I know we're not going to have too much time with you, Jim, so I do want to ask this question, because I see, in my opinion, you are the absolute dream candidate, right? I mean, you went through all of the steps that I've talked about. We don't just want people who maybe aren't afraid or they're willing to do what's right. We want people with experience. And you've also proven that you care about the people. Like I said, I'm just up here in little itty bitty Fallbrook, and we feel so much love from you. And you've done so much in our favor that we love as the county supervisor. But having, you know, really just gone from PTO to Chamber of Commerce, you know, being a businessman and then city council, mayor, you've really taken the steps that it takes to understand our area, to understand all the people here, the population, what we need, what we've been through. You have a history here. I don't see, especially with just the issues that we've seen in the past when, you know, we saw that Mike Levin had a lot of issues last time when he was running. I don't think you're going to have any trouble, I hope, you know, and we're going to obviously have to help you fund that and move forward. But what do you feel is going to be your biggest issue that you want to base your race on as your candidacy for Congress?
Well, there's many. I mean, safety is always number one, the government's number one job. And unfortunately, Mike Levin did not keep us safe. Our southern border got invaded. We had thousands of people coming across a day. He did nothing. We had multiple boats coming out every week onshore, into Carlsbad, into Encinitas, into Del Mar. They're just landing on our beaches. He did absolutely nothing for our safety. And same thing on this Tijuana water issue. Now, all of a sudden, he's getting excited about it. He's been there for almost 8 years, and he hasn't done anything. I just think he really hasn't served us well. And I really think my pathway to winning this election is the fact that two-thirds of this district is in San Diego County. And the last two gentlemen that ran against Mr. Levin, they were both from Orange County. Yeah. And which only represents about a third of the district. So the vast majority of people are in San Diego County. And albeit it's mostly coastal and mostly blue by about 4 percentage points. And so I think what I've got the advantage of is I've already Oceanside, Carlsbad, and Vista are the three biggest cities in the district. They're bigger than I think and next is San Clemente or Dana Point. I think I've already won in Oceanside and Vista twice.
You won by 60%, I think, the last time.
Yeah, but that was not against a Congress member or anybody
else,
Congress member. But yeah, I won by 60% last time, or not 60%. It was 64 was the outcome. So I guess by 20% I won. But I've already been elected once in Carlsbad, and I've been. I'm still a sitting county supervisor. I still get on the news. I still get, reporters calling on positions and things like that I've taken. So I'm getting a lot of press. And I hope I've been trying even, you know, I am a Republican, but I try to just go for common sense solutions. And I'm hopefully I got a reputation of that during COVID. I was, you know, we shouldn't be closing everything down. We should allow businesses to be open when they're safe. This issue with the immigration, the border issue, I reported a lot more than our local stations reported about that. And now with the Tijuana River issue, I'm hoping, you know, to be the practical common sense person of trying to fix things as opposed to just wallowing in the bureaucracy.
So, Jim, I know you're short on time. Our PAC is going to be very supportive of you. We helped
you.
Brian Marriott and Gunderson. We have lunches. We give away lots of books. We'll be in contact with you probably through June, and we do want you to come on the June 20th event, and we've got a candidates forum for a few minutes that people will be able to meet you. We have a couple of hundred folks, and they have checkbooks, so we do need you. I'm very supportive of the kinds of things you believe, so we need people like you in Congress and representing this North County district, and we need more Delta pilots in Washington, don't you think?
I need to go into that air traffic control tower and say, hey, don't put a helicopter in an airplane and frame airspace.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, Jim, I know
at least it was for Delta. So
I know you have to run, but we will be in touch with you more. Thank you for your work on the border. Thank you for all, like Kelly said, all the getting into the details in all the towns in your district. We're praying that John will win so you've got a majority, that you and Joel will be able to get something done in this county and start turning California red. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate the time, and take care.
Okay. We'll see you, Jim.
We'll see you soon. Thanks, Jim. Yeah, I mean, Steve, thanks, Jim. Have a great one. We have just had so many dealings with Jim that I just, if anybody doesn't really know him that well listening, I want them to know, like, this is our guy. Let me tell you, this is our guy. Not only does he get in and you know, with his own hands and feet, he is absolutely, he's good at networking, bringing people together, but he's just common sense and he gets out there. He doesn't care if you like what he's saying. He's going to do what's right. He has no shame in that. And then, like I said before, just the experience that he brings is so evident. Even when he talks, he's a good orator. And when he speaks, you know he's educated. He knows what he's talking about.
Well, he's had quite a career, yeah. Kelly. If he flew for 30 years, did Navy, I presume Navy aviation, and then was city council and supervisor. I don't know how
business owner
how old Jim is, but he can't be 40. So, right. But yeah,
let's just say he's a go-getter. Yeah, he's going to get things done.
Yeah, wow. I mean those are the kinds of folks that we really need in Washington. And then of course we need to fill his seat when he terms out. And I think the mayor of San Marcos or Vista, the mayor of Vista.
There's John Franklin in Vista, and then there's Rebecca Jones, who is the mayor of San Marcos. They're both running for it.
Yeah, yeah. So
for his seat.
Yeah, so that'll
we
be.
We should have asked him who he likes.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm going to ask him one on one. Who's your you know favorite there?
Well, this district one in South County with John McCann is going to be an interesting. Oh. You know, there were five. Candidates running, maybe more, but he got 42% of the vote, which means these other five, I think the runner-up got 30. Mm-hmm. So the other three candidates, if I can do my math right, got 28%. Okay. So, you know, he needs to get 50% plus one.
Right. And now they have to do the runoff.
And I think the turnout was 15% of the voting public. There's 330,000 registered voters in that district, and this is the district where the sewage problem is huge.
And they are going to be controlling, like he said, over $8 billion a year in all of those areas that he mentioned. I mean, your tax, your recording, your library, your jails, your juvie, your sheriff. I mean. Yeah. So many things that they are over, and the homelessness and safety and border, they are controlling all of that. I don't think people really understand how important that position is. Well, I'll be honest. I don't think they do.
You're absolutely right. I mean, we get a lot of attention on the city council, which is very blue and left wing. Though there are some signs that I don't know who I was listening to, maybe Mark Larson the other night on a opposing radio station, but Mark was commenting that maybe even the mayor of San Diego is starting to wake up a little bit. But but the reality is that there's a lot going on in the city. But the county is by far larger and more you know, more powerful than really what we have at the city level. But, you know, it's going to take really reversing some of these things, getting control over the county, getting control over the city. Again, getting Orange County to be a more red spot, getting San Diego to, having another Republican congressman. I was watching Levin. You know, it's interesting when the EPA had came in yesterday. If you looked at the TV coverage, you had Sarah Jacobs and Mike Levin standing right next to him at the when they were doing the camera shots. As if somehow they were interested in any of this, and people and Daryl Issa was there and Desmond and the reality is, I just this is an example, and maybe Jim's right. Maybe you just have to dam it up and say, Mexico, this is your problem. You need to build more treatment situations in Tijuana. You need to, find a way to solve your problem because polluting that area. I don't know if I've ever been to Imperial Beach. quite frankly. I've had some folks that have worked for me that live there. But, you know, you don't, you know, the Hotel Del, which is, of course, a prestigious spot. Yeah, most of the summer, I think their beaches were closed. So we are in this beautiful hotel, and you can't get in the water.
Yeah.
You know, they have a pool, of course. But
beautiful view.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Can't go in it.
But then the aroma, of course, is is rough. So I can imagine the guy who's spending $600 a night at the Hotel Del opens the window and goes, what's going on here?
Oh, and I got to tell you a story. We actually took a cruise with our two eldest. This was years back. And I remember we went, where do we stop off down there? Ensenada, I think. And so we went down to Ensenada, and our boys, as we were crossing into the waters, said, what is that smell? Mm. And it was just, we're in Ensenada now, And and so they noticed right away while we were out on the water, what is that difference in smell? And to know that that's now coming over our border. Yeah, I'm with Jim Desmond. Let's just go ahead and dam that up. Like, your problem, not ours. We can't be harming, you know, our citizens because you guys can't control the waste on your side. But I was just down in Mission Beach and I didn't notice it there. We didn't go in the water, but that's a scary example of what can happen when we just don't put up those security blankets and those borders, even in our water.
Well, you just think of the dynamics of the ocean itself and, you know, how does that all get neutralized? So it's, you know, when you move into a new housing development, you know, I've had clients, real estate clients that have developed homes over the years. And what you don't realize is, you know, you may see the house getting framed and coming up out of the ground, but do you realize how long it's taken to even get to that point in the development process?
Right.
Probably 10 years.
Yeah.
Just to get the permission to have a tract of land that you can build homes. And then you've got all kinds of electrical, internet, and sewage that all has to get approved and put in place. And, you know, not to sound gross, but, you know, when you flush the toilet, you ever wonder what happens to all that stuff?
Uh-huh.
Well,
yeah,
you don't really think about it because you're in a home that's been taken care of years and years and years ago before they ever built the home. But, you know, in Tijuana, my guess is there's not a lot of planning and there's not a lot of systems and infrastructure. But, you know,
I do wonder, you know, here in Fallbrook, most of us are on septic tanks.
Yeah.
So I do wonder if that is kind of the system they have down there or if they do actually have, you know.
Well, even on a septic tank, you have to have bleaching fields. You have to have, right. You know, you have to have enough real estate to allow that system to work. And,
right.
You know, I've had homes with septic tanks and stuff, but you have to maintain that. I can't imagine in Tijuana they have any of that kind of capacity to.
Right. And you can't build on the leach lines and you have to have just land. It's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah.
It's
not managed well.
You know, it's a real world issue, but it's one that is becoming a pretty desperate point. I'd say the one thing it has cured, I met somebody who's actually an illegal immigrant who years ago she swam with her brother around Tijuana, the water, and came across that way into the United States probably 20-25 years ago. And I think she moved to North Carolina or something with her brother. I don't think you can do that now. Because
no. Well, those are strong swimmers too, by the way. But yeah, I don't think you could do that anymore.
Yeah.
You're not going to make it.
So now I think the reason we see the boats coming up to Del Mar and Carlsbad and Encinitas and dropping people off is it's just that water is, you can surf in that water, you can swim in that water, but you go further south and it's just not very tolerable. So it's...
Now, Steve, I will ask you a question. I want to circle back because you mentioned just a little while ago that you feel or that you heard somebody talking about the San Diego mayor maybe coming around on some of his issues. Speak to that. What is happening down there? What is he starting to wake up to?
I think it's the reality of life is starting to settle in, whether it's the homeless issue. He has had to cut about a quarter of $1 billion out of his budget because the revenue isn't there.
Right.
And so that means cutting, you know, libraries aren't going to be open on Sunday, stuff like that. And when he's asked about it, he's kind of like, hey, this is the real world. We just can't, we don't have reserves. We can't go into, you know, debt financing of this kind of thing. And so to some extent, I think he's starting to realize that, you know, when you have a budget and you have accountants and they say, you know, there's only so much you can spend, I think he's starting to realize that's the real world. And and that's, you know, the more senior politicians, I think, are also, a lot of them have never run a business. But running a business, even the governor of North Dakota, who's now our interior secretary, you know, he put together a very good technology company that Microsoft purchased for several $1 billion. But he will tell you that for 7 years, he had sleepless nights and he had to mortgage the family farm. And running a small business is, is difficult. And there's no easy small businesses out there that I'm aware of. And you've got people and cash flow and regulatory issues. And so to a large extent, he's a good man to have in the cabinet. And a lot of them have run businesses, and there's nothing more awakening than to have to make payroll and those kinds of things and understand the importance of billings and collections and having good products because those are the kind of people that are you don't have to, you know, they're not the AOCs of the world who have never run a business. They're not the Bernie Sanders of the world who have never won a, run a business. All they've done is talk and take taxpayer dollars. And you know, for example, you look at AOC's district, it's a disaster. You know, she doesn't spend any time there. And if you interview people there, you know, there's tons of homeless. And, you know, she kicked out Amazon, I think, was going to have was going to build a facility there and employ 10 or 15,000 people. And she said, no, we're not going to have that. Are you nuts? You know, right. Are you nuts? And so, you know, part of it is getting people like that out of government because they're going to be making stupid decisions. Yeah. And I think to some extent, Todd Gloria has probably been in that position long enough to realize, huh, we do have to balance the budget. There's only so much revenue. And sorry, the library's not going to be open on Sunday morning.
Right.
Yeah. First of all, when's the last time you've been to a library, Kelly?
Oh, well, I got kids. And my husband loves going to the library.
Okay.
And so he goes all the time. He just always bringing home new books.
Okay.
But I probably have only been once in the year this year. What about you?
I can't remember the last time I've been to a library.
Yeah.
I just don't,
I
don't use it as a resource.
But
I did in college. I went to the library a lot, studied there. But to be honest with you, I don't. I think libraries have their role, but it's not what it used to be. You just, the reality is the your smartphone can get you more information than you need. So,
and that's the same thing with newspapers. You know, physical newspapers are now going out because people are not looking to paper anymore. I know you love them, but just like you love them, it's nostalgic for you.
And I'm holding up today's Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, he reads it every morning.
And I read that. I read the Financial Times for international news. And I read the San Diego Union Tribune, as well as a lot of magazines and books. The thing I find is that between that and media, quite frankly, I pull out a lot of articles. For example, this is the article on John McCain. I got articles on the trade balance issues. So the reality is that I still read a lot. My wife uses the papers afterwards for the chicken coop.
There we go. We would use it for our fires. Well, I will say this. I really enjoy reading it just like that. And I'm only 41, but I really enjoy, you know, reading newspapers still and doing things that are physical and not having the screen in my face. And I know we're going to wrap up, but I was going to bring us back one more time to just kind of that idea that these candidates and these people who are running for office, if they can have a business background, it's really important, because I think one of the funniest things that you're going to find as a business person is the United States tax model, right? Mm-hmm. And trying to figure that out on your own, even if you have a CPA, there's so many people I don't know how they do it because it's not their thing.
It's all in the software now.
Yeah, but you learn a lot, and a lot of, you know, small business people become Republicans for that reason. They start to understand things a little more. But anyway, Steve, this was an incredible show. I'm so glad that we got to speak with Jim Desmond. You know, get out and get to know him more if you don't know him.
Our next congressman for District 49.
Man,
all right, we'll have a very good day, and we'll look forward to another program soon.
We'll see you next time.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Turning California Red. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to join Steve Austin and Kelly Hansen Monday through Wednesday at 2 p.m. for more hard-hitting discussions, guest interviews, and the fight to restore America's values. Remember, our nation needs saving, and together we can make California red again. Stay strong, stay informed, and stay committed to the cause. Until next time, keep pushing forward, patriots.
Are you looking for a local, top-tier accounting and consulting firm? Look no further than Swenson Advisors. Since 1998, Swenson Advisors has been delivering personalized, customer-focused services with the expertise of a national firm. Our clients, from middle-market public and private companies to high-net-worth individuals, trust us for our responsive, ethical, and innovative approach. Whether you're in technology, real estate, manufacturing, or the nonprofit sector, Swenson Advisors has you covered. Specializing in lease accounting, audit and assurance, tax services, and consulting, Swenson Advisors delivers tailored solutions for your financial success. We're not just another accounting firm. We're your strategic ally, dedicated to innovative solutions and impeccable service. Ranked among the top 25 accounting firms by the San Diego Business Journal and recognized for our integrity and responsiveness. Join the countless clients who trust Swenson Advisors for their accounting needs. Visit us at swensonadvisors.com today or call us at 619-237-3400. Swenson Advisors, expertise you can trust, solutions you can count on.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious. With multiple engine options and impressive towing, well, Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. Click to learn more. See your San Diego County Chevy dealer.